Our reading from the gospel this morning, like we heard from the children's message, is in the first chapter of Mark. We'll begin at the 21st verse and go through verse 28. If you would like to follow along, that's on page 35 in your pew Bible. I think I may be reading from a slightly different translation. I think I usually have the CEB on here, so the Common English Bible, if you're not familiar with that one. But it should be pretty close. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered the synagogue and he taught. They were astounded by his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then, there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit convulsed him, and crying with a loud voice, came out of the man. They were all amazed, and they kept asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding regions of Galilee. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I'm going to ask you to take just a second. I want you to get comfortable, get your feet flat on the floor maybe, if that's comfortable for you. Take a really deep breath, really good cleansing deep breath. Hold it maybe for just a second and then let it out slowly. Feels good, doesn't it? Feels good. Have you ever done that? Now, it's not going to be on a day like today, but maybe on a really clear, crisp, cold morning like we had a couple weeks ago. It feels so good. It's invigorating. It gives you energy. And I think that's what it was like that breath of clean, crisp, energizing, invigorating fresh air, the kind that you fill up your lungs and it gives you energy from head to toe. And maybe even a feeling of cleanness and newness. It's refreshing. Maybe even gives you a new outlook on the day. You feel better about the outlook of things, the world around you even. I really think that that's what it felt like in the synagogue that day for those who were first hearing Jesus teach. That sense of newness and cleanness, that invigorating energy that comes with that deep cleansing breath. His teaching, says the Bible, made a deep impression on them because he taught with authority, not like the scribes. If hearing Jesus' teaching then was a lot like that breath of fresh air, then hearing the scribes, we sort of get the impression that it was like walking into that musty old attic that hasn't been opened in years, a little bit stale, a little bit dank and lifeless. You'd really rather not take another deep breath if you can help it till you get back outside. It was stifling, the scribes' teaching. Now, I don't think that's because the scribes were bad folks. They were good people with good intentions. They were the keepers and the interpreters of the ancient holy law. The law that Jesus, in fact, came not to abolish, but to fulfill, as he tells us. The problem, no, it wasn't with the law itself. The problem it ends up was with the way those scribes interpreted that law. They had been doing this for generations since the time of Moses, when God had given the law to the people as a description of the way life should be in community as the people of God. It was actually meant to be a freeing thing, to make them live better together in this covenant community, to give them hope and show them God's will for their lives. But throughout the years, unfortunately, the scribes had started to take God's law and study it so carefully, so thoroughly, down to the last jot and tittle, that they missed the spirit of this life-giving law that God had given to them. They were legalists. They were the lawyers of the law, as it were. And they knew every last word of it by heart. They knew every interpretation that every rabbi had ever given to it. But these guys just missed the heart and the meaning. Now, the scribes could quote the authorities. Now, God says this, and Rabbi so-and-so has said this about that. And before long, God's law has lost its sense of the joy of life and living together as God's people, as it was meant to be lived. They'd boxed it up, in other words, and it became musty and stale and a bit lifeless. It didn't allow you to breathe that Holy Spirit. The word in ancient Hebrew for Holy Spirit can also mean life and breath. It didn't allow you to breathe. People were afraid to do anything in the synagogue because they were terrified of breaking some tiny little commandment, some obscure part of the law or interpretation of it, and call down the wrath of God on themselves and their children for generations. And then along comes Jesus. This itinerant preacher from Nazareth, as we heard Nathaniel say a week or two ago, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And he came teaching in the synagogues, just like the scribes, except not quite like the scribes, because Jesus never quoted the rabbinical authorities to back up his teaching. His words seemed to carry that authority all by themselves. The folks who heard it were utterly amazed. Here was a teacher who brought new life to these ancient words that they'd been hearing forever. And it was like this breath of fresh air, having been locked in that stale, dank, musty old room for so long. It brought that feeling of newness and life to the law. Now, we know that Jesus was distinguishable from these other teachers, not because he taught something different than what they'd been teaching, but because he taught this old law with this new life-giving authority. That's the word, the authority. It keeps saying that because he carried this weight all on his own. It was his presence that brought this authority to these words, because, of course, he was the Son of God and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And because of that, new things begin to happen around him. People were moved to action. People who had been fishing with their nets in their boats came to shore and started fishing for new disciples and followers of Jesus. Others were healed of their diseases. Unclean spirits are suddenly set free. And through this teaching of the Messiah, God speaks to the people in such a way that all of those folks who had been separated from their Lord by the legalistic piety of the law are suddenly brought back into fellowship with God the way God has always wanted it to be. Grace was bestowed upon Jesus' listeners, and this covenant community begins to be restored as the kingdom of heaven breaks upon the earth. Yes, Jesus teaches with power, that same power that overcame the evil temptation in the wilderness, that same power with which he cast out that unclean spirit, same power that he calls you and me to be his disciples. I find it fascinating, I guess is a good word, that of all the things that Jesus said and did during his ministry, Mark does not report much about the content of Jesus' actual teaching, what he actually says. Mark talks much more about what Jesus does. And then he holds up this exorcism as an example. I mean, what preacher wants to come and talk about exorcism when they're visiting a new congregation, right? Mark, though, seems much less concerned about, like I said, what Jesus taught than the life-changing effect that those teachings had on people. Belief in unclean or evil spirits, of course, was very common in Jesus' day. People recognized the very real forces of evil that were attacking bodies with pain or illness, that were crippling minds, that were crushing spirits, those which sabotaged and thwarted the will of God for wholeness in our lives. And of course, we still have them at work today. We just call them by different names. The story then of Jesus exorcising these evil spirits from anyone who was under their power is a strong statement from Mark. I hope you'll recognize that because it's at the very beginning. We're still in the first chapter in the 20-something verses here. This is how Mark starts his good news. It sets up from the very start the picture of Jesus throwing himself headlong into this battle against the forces of evil that he will continue to battle all throughout Mark's gospel against those forces that cripple and distort and destroy human life. So when he does that exorcism that day in the synagogue with authority, the people, as scripture told us, were amazed. And those spirits are a little daunted. And they speak out. And they say, "Have you come to destroy us? You, the Holy One of God." These demons confront their destroyer out of their fear. They, notice, are the only ones to call Jesus for who he really is. The Holy One of God. As the saying goes, you keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Yeah, these demons knew all about Jesus and who he was. Because he was the only one who had the power to destroy them and their evil. His authority was not like the scribes. His authority was from God. The very words themselves had power to banish. In a worldly sense, though, if you think about it, Jesus didn't have any power. Not really. As Nathanael pointed out, he was a nobody from Nazareth. But Jesus' authority was a kind of power that nobody had ever seen before. It brought healing, it brought wholeness, it possessed this irresistible draw to people who were going to become his followers simply through the presence of the Holy Spirit in his lives. That same Holy Spirit that he bestowed upon his followers and upon you and me when he rose into heaven. His authority is part and parcel of the kingdom that he announced was drawing near when he called his disciples that you probably read just previously in the lectionary in Mark's gospel. Because Jesus' authority and ministry, they don't invite us just to walk in his footsteps. It invites us to imagine an entirely different world, a world where God's kingdom is already at work among us, and to live towards it and to demonstrate it to the rest of the world. He came to proclaim and to show us what that would look like, what God's kingdom here among us would look like. And he does this by opposing the forces of evil, which would take from the children of God away all of their hopes and all of their dreams and all of their wholeness. And I think that this is what Mark is trying to show us when he throws us this exorcism right at the very beginning of his gospel. That Jesus is here to bring this kingdom and to show us that we too, as his followers, have the authority. Yes, we do too. Have the authority to banish the demons and the evil forces. And we have this by the power of the Spirit through the authority of the living God. Mark is also trying to help us understand, I think, what it means for us to speak with that authority, to speak God's truth, especially in the faces of these evil powers and principalities that would rather destroy us than to see God's kingdom come about on earth. What so amazes the crowds when Jesus speaks to them is that God's truth is no longer threatening to them. It is no longer binding them or condemning people to death who misstep. The law had become, like I said, legalistic. It was, if you do bad, you get punished. And now God is saying, no, that's not the way I ever meant it to be. I want this word to free you. I want this law to heal your brokenness, to help you live together as my children, to bring you back to relationship with me, says God. And maybe that is what needs to be our criteria for deciding how to decide, as it were, as we sort out the voices that we hear in our daily lives that clamor for our attention and for our loyalty, and we wonder, which is the word from the Lord? Because there are great speakers and orators out there who sound so convincing, and they mesmerize their audiences with their powerful words, and they claim that their message is indeed from God. But if their words are full of hatred and vile speech, says the Bible, then they are not from God. If they condemn anyone who challenges them, anyone who dares to destroy their own personal kingdom, then I do not believe that those words are from God. We need to ask ourselves, where is the good news? Where is God's grace? Where is God's hope in these words? Because that is what Jesus brought to us, God's grace and God's hope for the healing of broken lives. There have always been a lot of false teachers and prophets. Even in Jesus' day, he talks about them, and there probably always will be. Maybe there are still so many prophets, true and false ones, because there are still so many unclean spirits and evil forces plaguing our lives. But I call them evil spirits like fear. Fear of dying, fear of change, fear of trying because you might fail, fear of people who aren't just like you. There are evil spirits called suspicion and not trusting your coworkers or your boss, maybe your spouse, especially not yourself, not even trusting that life itself can be good. And there are so many other common evil spirits in our lives, we've just become accustomed to them almost. Greed and depression and racism and lust for power. Evil spirits that get under our skin and almost become such a part of us that we don't even notice them anymore. But there lies the truly good news that we hear from Jesus today. That these evil spirits that plague us, no matter what we call them, they do not have the final authority. They recognize the Messiah when he is near us, and they are afraid of him because they know that his authority is one that can destroy them. They know that his truth is the only real truth and that his love is the only everlasting, stronger than death, love. And they know that when the kingdom of heaven is finally ushered in among us, evil spirits in all forms will be banished. Just as our Lord spoke words of healing there in that Capernaum synagogue, he continues to speak today with an authority that is unlike any other. He proclaims the good news of God's eternal love, which always is to bring us life and wholeness, even in the midst of our brokenness and pain. And his call to us is to be his voice in the wilderness, to speak that word of love and truth and healing to a pained and broken world. Like that cleansing breath of fresh air. Go ahead and take another one. Go ahead and take another deep breath. And feel your life be filled with love and hope and promise of his love and truth. Amen.